area, a buffer or something that's got to be between me and a residential, or the county already has at least rules.
We do have commercial and industrial zones that right up against residential zones.
Okay.
There's nothing in between, so that will be.
So it's really not an issue.
Okay, I'm looking at this again. I guess this is where I came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Respect the other zones require setback from that use. The other zone, I thought that would be referring to the adjacent zone and its use standards adjacent to the one we're talking about. That's where I was coming up with that. I didn't know what it was.
Okay, so this, really, I think what we're going to require at this point is some input from the planning director once we get one as to what a legal terminology is going to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to reference that we table 7E and get a wording list from our new PC or PD when he gets here next week.
Sounds good.
Probably so. At the next meeting, then we're going to keep 7E on here. We're not making it go away. We just want to reword it so we can come up with appropriate language. It sounds like that's all we need is to have some language mm-hmm. that makes it fit.
Mm-hmm. So to re-language it?
To re-language it.
Mm-hmm. The whole concept is good. Everything's
yeah,
there.
The concept is good, but we need something with a little more expertise than what this table has. Was there any, especially Steve, Brian, Charlie, anyone else on page one have any issues?
So we're agreeing on the concept, we just need better ones.
Correct.
A little better, yeah.
We're not saying to strike it. We're saying we need to language it, wordsmith it.
Page one of five.
That was page one. This one was page two?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a separate page?
Okay.
So go back to the table until we have a wordsmith.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, then we completed the setbacks other than wordsmithing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are the actual numbers set forth somewhere? James, you guys actually have the numbers. They're not really mentioning. They're referring to the setbacks, but they're not citing them. Those setbacks
they're
established in a different code. Okay.
Yeah, such a numbers, but spatial conceptual.
So to be legal, does this need to reference those specific setbacks?
Well, you're doing it in reality. It's happened.
You're saying commercial industrial zone, and you're referring to.
So that's
those.
Already going to jump
and that's
right.
That's going to take
it in the applicable zoning.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll cover it.
Right.
Okay. So on to the next page. I'll let James finish making his notes there.
The black is already there. The red are suggested edits for discussion, and the green is just comments, rationale.
Okay. Well, I have an issue with A2 because in the very last red line in the foreseeable future. Like, we know they opened up another bandwidth to them and that will be coming, but there's not an infrastructure to support it. So we've got to watch how we word that because we can't make them prevent from doing something on some equipment that might show up 6, 8, 10 months down the road.
Well, that's a real interesting question. You know, knowing that they have made the 700 megahertz bandwidth available,
mm-hmm.
I don't know about the infrastructure being prepared for that. You know, if we know that, let's say if we know that in 6 months they can co-locate.
Yeah, but I don't know.
And it's going to take them how long to build, you know, a new tower anyway. That it would seem to me co-location is clearly the standard. You know,
check this out. The companies that would be implementing 700 megahertz, which is a newly released band from TV stuff, will be used by the same carriers. The people will be licensed there, the same carriers that are established now. So if they were going to put up a different antenna, you wouldn't really even know the difference. They would look the same. There could be more if they put them both bands there, but that they wouldn't typically do that. This would be for new areas and other growth. So my point is, people buying the 700s are probably the same carrier, they have everything already, the 5.6 or something. So it's all okay. Here's another thing. It's not necessarily between different companies. It may be, well, if they're off this Oakley's new location, yeah, I'm just pointing out it's not like newcomers in the industry.
No, no. Well, what I'm saying is now that we know the 700, you know, like, for example, AT&T and Verizon bought huge amounts of the 700.
It became nationwide.
It actually allows co-location to happen more easily than when they're trying to use 1900.
No, it's no more easy. It would be harder.
Well,
why would it be easier?
Because it's a single carrier and it penetrates.
The 700 covers better than any other, but the antennas are bigger. It requires more power to put it on.
So for
a colo, we're getting technical, but a colo, it's almost, they can do any band. It doesn't matter. You don't need as many as 700, though. That is correct.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So let's say, that's exactly the point. So it may be possible to co-locate, and the other thing that this brings up is if you can't, because the infrastructure, I'm not aware of the size of the antennas, and therefore...
It's more or less irrelevant, but they're technically...
Well, actually, technologically, not being able to put the antenna on an existing tower means they can't co-locate. But if that, let's say you've got an antenna that's only got you've got a tower that's only got one antenna, and they prepared for two or three other companies to be able to co-locate.
Mm-hmm.
So the 700 size can really go there and assist. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what I'm saying is, it may be, I mean, you know, Williams is just one place. I mean, just Williams is the perfect example for this, that originally they were saying we can't co-locate because we can't get the coverage from there, because they were thinking 1,800 megahertz.
Right.
But now that they can use 700 megahertz,
right,
they can co-locate.
That's true. I got your point.
But where the company owns...
Took a while, but...
Sorry. And the present tower that's there is way up on a hillside, right, in a fairly large tower.
Is it?
So it shouldn't be a problem at all.
Well, that's kind of a good thing, because then they won't come... want more elsewhere someday in the future. 700's on a hill, I'd be pretty happy.
That's
really important.
And that's what the foreseeable, that's what that phrase is about, and maybe we have to define foreseeable, whatever. But that's exactly the point.
Oh, it's an enforceable foreseeable.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you guys thought that there would be a way we could define foreseeable future.
Yeah, that might be the...
And I don't really know the best way to do it, you know.
I don't know if we have the authority, because we don't, you know, we don't know what's out there. We don't even know what the FCC rules are going to be. I mean, they could be still writing rules, or they could still be, you know, they're going to preclude us from doing anything anyway.
It takes time, for sure. We all know that.
How about if we just leave it to technology currently available and just stop it from that, or strike it from the or in the foreseeable future? Or unless you want to give that a timeline, you might want to say 60 months or whatever. You know, this day and age, the technology is moving pretty quick,
yes,
right? 60 months might be actually a pretty fair, generous,
well, it's
argumentative number.
But what does it accomplish? Because when 60 months is up, you're going to get it in your neighborhood.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfair to the industry, because 55, that's an arbitrary value, and they need to have... It makes us look stupid.
They need their feet held to the fire, is what they need. It's business. You need to have 8-8. Or if you're playing the other side, you need to have, if I'm going to play you, I'm going to say, I need to know when the foreseeable future is. Or it's here now. Prove it's not. Tomorrow's the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, from a code enforcer standpoint, we really should shore that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the same thing. If that word is too ambiguous, is what
Yeah, it's a little bit open-ended.
It's undefined.
Yeah, I'm okay with trying to find a definition that we're all fine with. You know, but the point that you made is exactly the point, that a tower may not be necessary to put in another tower, given, for example, that we now know that 700 is coming.
And you know...
Wait a minute. Let's say I'm a carrier. I could own 800 and some 900, 19, 700 megahertz. I could own all sorts of it.
Correct.
Providing different technologies and different services. Right? So I happen to provide, I can turn on your lights with 800 megahertz, I can shoot you some TV with 700 megahertz, and
absolutely,
I can run your garage door with this. You know, I'm going to use the best band that has the appropriate technology to deliver that service. To always shove them down to the lowest megahertz because we think it covers better. You know, covers better is not is dependent on many more things than just what band it is. I mean, you don't.
True, but those are fixed and a given. I mean, they're just in place out there. Like, say, for instance, Williams. Here's the way I look at this. I never thought about this before. I just knew seven numbers coming. I didn't worry about they're going to implement it. Everybody just sees big cities and zillions of cell towers and populace and billions of dollars revenue. Gosh, the technology is totally forward and backwards compatible. Whatever technology you want can go on any band. You may not be able to do it as fast, but it's work. In rural areas, 700 might work. It will work really great. Maybe they will implement it such that on a hill further away from populace, covers better. They make less infrastructure. We have to have three or four of them to win for them. I mean, it may go that way. Maybe we'll see sub better. I've been looking at it. It's the big cities all along, and we don't know how they're going to implement it. But that could be to their advantage and everybody else's too. Last hours out of town. And that frequency is more forgiving too. When you're talking about large amounts and any form of radiation, the higher you go, things do get more concerned when you get to microwaves. Centers more like traditional radio.
I don't think the FCC will allow us to mandate anything based on which band.
No, it won't.
No, that's not against the TCA. It's not against the TCA. As long as we're allowing service. As long as they are allowing
service. But if the hardware I want to buy that delivers the kind of technology and functionality that I want to deliver is better provided in a more efficient, cost-effective manner in this band, you shouldn't be able to force me to deliver on this band with more cost or less efficiency or not able to provide the service.
How is that being done? Am I missing something?
Yeah, it says shall utilize the lowest megahertz range available to the applicant. Well, let's say I'm an applicant who owns some 800 stuff, but I want to do it, you know, at 19 tubers.
Well, I just figured that would be satisfied by the carrier showing that their plan was all along to do whatever it was on the megahertz range in this 3G, 4G, whatever environment, because that's the way it is. So it wouldn't be 700. How would they do in 700 remains to be seen. So I thought, I wasn't sure the level of proof, but I almost thought it would dictate. Was it, say, possible? What was the range? Lowest frequency possible?
Available
for that use, intended use, their desired use. We're getting all kind of, you know, vague again.
We'd have to change that word to make it. Charlie had a point?
No, I really don't. I have more of a question. Instead of this committee trying to fight over what frequency you can put on what size tower, why don't you take that map and say, for us to cover our county, we're going to need one here, 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 and here. And we're going to let out, what is it, the city charges Charter Cable Vision for running down their city street. A franchise, we're going to let these cable companies franchise to operate in these six spots that the county has decreed as appropriate for cell tower, which will cover our whole place without having an eyesore on every mountaintop. But there, you guys, these are the six mountaintops we have available in our district. Come see us if you're interested, and then wait for them to come see us. I'm just curious why we aren't going after it that way.
I've got an answer.
Okay.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'm actually curious why the chair's answer, because really, this committee could actually take that whole direction.
It could take that direction. That's
we could
master
easily
plan
go that way
and
not even deal with the
All we could do would be to recommend that to the BCC, and the BCC would have to instruct that to happen.
Here's what happens with the ambulance service. We, as a county, but the whole county said, oh crap, we need to provide ambulance service throughout this. And these four ambulance companies all want to come and sell ambulance service in Josephine County. I know what will serve the people best. We need these areas covered. Hey, these are the franchise areas. Give me your best bid. And I don't know. I'm just wondering philosophically.
The answer is no. And I spent about an hour talking about it. It would be
really sad if this got kicked up to the commissioners, because it would sound good to them, and based on their academic background, they wouldn't know what the world they were talking about on this issue. So it's just not right. Okay, basically what we're doing is, first of all, we're engineering the system for them. We don't have the authority to do that. By telling them they physically have to be here, we are now mandating their architecture of their system, and therefore forcing them into a particular engineering design and forcing them to have to pay probably very unreasonable costs. They tie you up in court till the cows came home. We cannot mandate how they engineer their system.
Functionally, it wouldn't even
you would be mandating at all. This is your assigned service area.
That's not how radio is designed.
It may not be workable in that area.
And I don't know. Yeah, I'm just brainstorming.
Radio is like TV. It goes everywhere it wants to go.
From a functionality design, it's just like not even close to anything.
Yeah, I can't help but think the overwhelming desire of the world is not to have an ugly cell tower in every mountain. And if that's the case, why aren't we approaching it from that side and saying, these are the spots based on that map and your expertise, that a tower would serve our community. Bang, those are the spots that are available.
They research that aspect of their needs more critically than anything with maps and don't want to be here, and they know they're going to get all of this going at them. They don't even want to have to. So it's design driven, and it gets a fine-tooth comb. This distance here, this distance here, handoffs this, don't get in too much area to clog up the other signal. It's not general at all. I mean, beyond what you can imagine, trying to make this all proper.
But I think the philosophy that's behind that is interesting for us to think about. The philosophy that's behind that is the number one is protecting our county and protecting the, one of the great advantages of our county, which is the natural environment. So the idea is that what a law is about is protecting our county, not necessarily making it as easy. Our purpose is not to make it as easy as possible and as inexpensive as possible for the philosophical difference.
Yeah. We're not going to be able to do that and answer that question, and we don't have the authority anyway.
Yeah, it's way out of all of our authority. If you want the carriers to come to, like they do the public hearings, and show the maps and say why they justify improved gap this and then you can't throw in some curveball like this. It's bizarre.
Okay, so we're going to go back to A2.
It wouldn't work.
And I'm going to make a recommendation that all our propagation maps referred to below should be certified by the Oregon licensed experts. And shall utilize the lowest applicable megahertz range available to the applicant currently.
I don't know what that means.
Well, when you say available, what if I hold a license but there's no hardware that does what I want it to do?
Yeah, it's real messy.
That's why I said applicable.
No, the best word.
If we add applicable, it's whatever you're trying to do.
Because the industry's manufacturing your equipment, let's say probably most people are tooling up for 700 megahertz. Okay, they're not tooling up, let's say, for something else. Well, and I want to deliver this. I want to deliver electronic notes. So I have to do that in that band because that's where the hardware is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I own a license in a lower band, I can't deliver that service because the technology's not there.
But applicable isn't.
That's
why applicable works so well, because it applies to what they're trying to do. It directly applies because of all the things he just said.
That's what I would be going at.
I'm not a wordsmith.
Applicable makes it apply to what you're trying to do.
That's right. And they can prove it is or not prove it is.
It's not easily applicable, because a company can, I don't know what applicable means. Really.
It's based on how it applies to them.
It has to be the technology that's going to be appropriate for what you're trying
to do. And it's based on the state of the art. They will be putting in state of the art. How it applies to them is what the industry is providing now as state of the art. It will be what it will be. It will apply to them in this case, and they'll want to do it. That's really what it is.
Yes, they're not going to put old crap in.
Exactly. It's applicable based on that GTE is making this today. No one else is. It doesn't exist. How it applies, how they are applying it, of which is available today.
Charlie?
It's very similar to the fire code, we can say. There's fire codes, and yet technology is constantly changing. The way the fire code and the building code handle this is the code itself, in this case, this ordinance, just says the shalls and the mays and the may nots and the shall nots. Because there are so many this whole committee is going to crash and burn, because you guys are going to try and deal with every technical aspect. So the fire code, rather than go that way, says you shall put this here or you may not put this here. But when it gets down to what it is, you go then to a standard that then would have all the neat things that Steve and Brian are talking about, megahertz and how many you can put on this band. For the sake of the ordinance, you guys should not care about any of this. This is for siting any tower. You don't care about frequencies. So what I would suggest you do is just get your land use type verbiage and then have standards sitting in an appendix or as a best practice. See, the fire code says, could say, you can only do it in this zone and you shall adhere to the best practices. And you go, well, what is that? Well, go look at the 2011 standard and you'll see what best practices are. See what I mean? That way it would satisfy the industry, which you guys are way more aware of than I, and you could stay current. At the same time, your ordinance would be generic enough to say, thou shall or shall not in this area do this within these parameters.
Makes it more flexible.
That's the way the fire code, the building code works.
The thing with the technology, though, of what these people have really educated me, which I appreciate, is that the measure, it makes a huge difference.
On setbacks.
Right.
So
no,
you
no,
go
no,
more
no,
conservative.
No. For example, I'm just going to use the Williams as the example again.
Right.
Using the 700 megahertz, they can co-locate. They can co-locate with the U.S. cellular tower, no problem. If they demand and do all their maps based on the 900 megahertz, they can't co-locate. So if they choose, or, well, now it's not, or, it's only arbitrarily now because the 700 wasn't available with that much bandwidth. But so the megahertz is really critical in terms of whether a tower is feasible to service a certain area.
Because that minimizes them. Because if
because
what 700 is better than two 900s for the beautification of the hills.
You know, I can't anticipate the kinds of all the problems that a carrier might have with this. But let's say there are some problems. The carrier's going to come in here and say, "You can talk to me about setbacks. You can push me a little bit on aesthetics, but you can't engineer my system."
Exactly.
You can't mandate me to do something or not do something because of megahertz, kilohertz, zeros, bits,
business,
and all other stuff. We're getting into an engineering process.
This is a land
use. This will get thrown out so fast.
Right.
We're designing the system. We're painting into the corner technically. We're painting into the corner in terms of your building codes and zones and stuff like that. That's fine. You have a right to do that. I don't think we have the authority to get into the technical mandates.
And the fire code even allows for, let's say it's set that you've got to do it this way and then new technology comes along. The fire code actually allows for alternate means and methods.
You know,
and even just the provision that would allow something like that allows then new technology to come along and say, when you folks built this ordinance, we didn't have 11,000 megahertz then, we never dreamed about it, but now that we've got it. So I would suggest that you guys stay just on your big time setbacks and your land use thing, and then have verbiage in there that says go to either best practices or the current standards or the, you know better than I what you would call that.
The other thing is, this is like trying to nail jail to the wall. That would probably be a while before these new bands are tampered with, but if we look, for example, at the public safety bands right now, they've been reformed. I mean, they used to be 25 kilohertz, and then they figured out technically how to do it at 12.5. Now it's down to 6.25. I mean, so they're starting to slice and dice this block of spectrum up so that they can get more channels in there. Well, someday they're going to do that to 800 and 900 and all these other channels. They're going to reform this stuff. Technology will change. When you get narrow band radios, you could possibly have some propagation differences going on there. I mean, this stuff's going to continue to evolve until try and lock them in on something saying you got to use this frequency or this band or whatever. They're going to go, time out.
I don't think anybody does.
They don't have the authority to do that.
Well, I don't know what to do, though, with a situation where a company might say, we need a new tower, and all of their RF projections are based on 1900 megahertz, and actually they could co-locate if they use the 700 megahertz. How do we take care of that? What if they can't provide
that functionality in that band? Or what if they can't get hardware in that band?
Yeah, they just didn't prove. I thought that was already assumed. What they even ask them to do anything, they have to prove why they have to be there in the first place. Gap, coverage, et cetera. They have to prove everything that they have to do. This is no exception.
But if that's what this is addressing. If they create an RF propagation map, you gave me those words, like an RF propagation map,
yeah.
I want to know what megahertz they're using.
They will tell you. It's okay. The map difference from band to band. It'll be what it is.
And so if they're giving me an RF propagation based on 900 megahertz,
okay.
I'd like to see one based on 700 megahertz.
Ask them for it and they will.
See, and actually, you might be able to set that into the standard, maybe, but do you think that'd be a challenge, Brian? If you didn't say how to do it, you just said we only allow not 700. If you're within 1,000 feet of a piece,
well,
I allow this many.
Okay, so what if I'm building out
the population?
What if I'm building out this network all over the West Coast? I got a gazillion dollars, and I'm building out this huge network all over the West Coast, and it's all going to be 900 megahertz. Oh, I'm in Josephine County. Sorry. I got to build a hybrid system here. I got to do it differently right here, even though my whole network. I'm trying to get economy of scale, purchasing my equipment. I'm trying to get it all to work in harmony. Look, walk, talk, have all my technicians trained to work on that. But no, I've got to have this customized system in Williams, but not the other 6,000 square miles that I'm serving or 600,000 square miles.
And how is that the problem for the citizens of Josephine County? Yeah. That is not our problem.
Steve, hold on.
With propane, if I have a small bottle of propane, I can put it closer to the property line than a big bottle of propane, right? It's going to affect more people. If I'm understanding correctly, high megahertz are like a bigger bottle of propane. You need a little bit more setback because they can cause damage to people. And a small propane bottle needs less setbacks, doesn't cause much problem. What would be wrong with just saying, taking the most conservative setbacks based on best practices and saying, for towers that are set, this will be our setbacks. Then, when in your scenario, the big boys, corporate America, blow into town and they want to tie us into their network, we've already got these towers set, and we've already got appropriate setbacks predetermined conservatively.
Who's designing, engineering, paying for, and building these towers you keep talking about?
You just told me that were going to blow into town and they were going to have to build a hybrid system in Josephine County. Those are the people I'm talking about, those same people. Or the ones that want to come pull a permit. That's why I thought the ordinance was being designed, was for the guy that wants to build a tower next week. And so I'm just saying, why not have all your setbacks pre-existing to where they're safe enough to where you don't ever worry about frying somebody?
It's not really about setbacks at this point. It's more about what, you know, the megahertz relates to, do you need another tower? I mean, in certain situations, it's can you co-locate or do you need yet another tower?
Right.
Because what it is that the higher the megahertz, like the 1900 megahertz, it doesn't go as far and it doesn't penetrate through obstacles as well.
So like the propane bottle, so I'll need a lot more propane bottles than one great big propane bottle.
Right.
That's
right. And exactly. The way you do that is you have setbacks and you say small propane bottles only need this much. So while I understand you're not talking about the setbacks, you're talking about what the locations.
I thought we were just talking about that one
word. I was
word.
Just looking at it as the same.
Yeah,
that's smart, Wayne.
I thought flippable worked. So what I'm hearing is not a real consensus, so I'm going to stay with
I just have a problem with the shell utilize the lowest megahertz.
I do too.
I don't think we have any authority to say that.
Right, so I wasn't on that.
Why?
Because we can't dictate
the applicable would be whatever to what the application is. So we're going to ask for direction from our new planning director.
Okay. Who is the relevant Oregon licensed expert? Who is that?
I don't know, but anyone that comes before the Planning Commission,
could that be an employee of the carrier?
If they're licensed in the state, yes.
Is a licensed engineer?
Yes.
Okay.
At the Planning Department, we have a form they have to fill out and vouch for their certifications, their state, if a lawyer, he's got to give us his lawyer number. If it's a certified engineer, he's got to give his engineer number. But we have them on record as being a license in the state. So if the state says he's good enough to work here, we're not going to dispute it.
They're going to use some standard software package.
Facts, that's right, facts are facts. It's not like they're going to stack the deck because it's their own engineer guy. A separate entity would run the same information. Numbers are numbers when they're computed by a computer,
yeah.
and megahertz and megahertz, you're going to get the same data.
There's no analysis done by an engineer. He's going to enter some geographic information and some spectrum information, all this kind of stuff. And the computer using, there's
There's digitized maps of this whole area, and it looks at the mountains, and it just does it. So,
yeah, it knows the terrain.
Certified.
Now, having said that, when you go to engineer a radio system, you do that propagation map, and you go, that's probably 95% good. But then most people actually go out and do field tests, because computers are computers, so we're going to make field tests. And people have gotten bit on this before. County Warren, when they put in their first 800 megahertz radio system, they said, hey, we're going to need 14 sites. Put it in for the fire department, Orange County Fire Department. They go out there, babies are dying, buildings are burning, firefighters can't talk. And they end up suing, that time, Erickson, whatever. Motorola came in and fixed it. They had to add six more sites because they didn't do field tests. They just did the propagation analysis. And it didn't factor in all these canyons and stuff like that with these firefighters and the talk. So, you know, I like propagation maps to get you in the ballpark. But, you know, in fairness, you know, their engineers are going to want to go out there and actually do tests and make sure that it actually works. They're not going to bankroll millions of dollars without knowing that this radio transmitted, this radio received, it actually works. They're going to go into the fringe areas. The map shows the contours, the fringe areas, and they're going to do a sampling to make sure that they've got, you know, good coverage. Steve, yes, no?
Yeah, but what's the relevance?
Well, I think we're hanging our hat on one thing, and we're saying, you know, we don't like the coverage map, we don't believe the coverage map, or whatever, and it's a done deal. And they're going, well, wait a minute. We did field tests and it shows this. I go with which one I'm going to vote on. The map or what the actual field tests show?
All right, we go with the field tests. The map's only as good as the person punching in the key.
It only goes to the software.
It wouldn't get to that point. These maps come up in public hearings and tend to influence the counselors or whatever, approve or deny. No one's going to question that in that room's going to question that map, right or wrong. It's certified as verbatim. I don't care if someone drove the damn thing or not. That's the way I see it. Okay. But I haven't seen it. So which way does that take it? More forgiving to the carrier? Okay. I think we are, again, getting...
Yeah, we're going to have to move forward because we're not getting anywhere this way.
So we haven't figured out whether we're agreeing on this less frequency. I know there's a word applicable. I guess that's good, huh?
I like it, but we're going to ask for some direction.
I see.
And then we'll ask the question of the new planning director also.
Very good.
Or James can look up, do they have any, is there any state licensed people in Oregon?
This is just a radio frequency engineer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have coverage. Is that what this section is all about, I have coverage there, but I don't have...
This section is about, I want a new tower. That's what this
is. Demonstration of service components.
What the section falls under.
It's part of new or modified facilities and towers.
What if a loading issue?
Bandwidth of the tower, where are we going now?
From a radio standpoint. It's loaded.
The capacity of users?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of this gap coverage definition.
That comes in here. That's dealing with capacity.
They can provide a second tower to offload some of that.
Right.
So they can continue to serve as intended.
Okay. Where's that?
You know, Ron.
That's under all that. It's not in here. It's a definition of gap. And gap's not in here. Is that what you're saying?
Could I suggest that possibly in the staff report, it has the entire draft, and it also has the comments and suggestions that Michael put in there at the end of each one where he felt the commenter's suggestion needed to be. And maybe what might help in the future meetings that we have, when, like this particular section that Shavana sent out and had changes to, that you review the applicable part in here and match it up to what the changes are, because when you're just looking at this, it is very hard to understand the context and the fluidity of it all if you don't have the entire content of the text in here, because when you're working on just sections out of it, it might not be applicable to the rest of the section that is in that. So you're kind of, you know, it sounds like you're beating up against the wall when you're pulling out just certain things like this, and it really should be matched up to what the text actually says.
And like Charlie's saying, we're getting way technical and some of this detailed stuff, which isn't the way they do it at their level. It's
well, and the code, the code is written a certain way so that it covers a broad area. If you make the code, like Charlie was saying, and I work with the code with the planning department all the time, if you make it too restrictive, then it hampers us in affording us to do the job that we need to do.
That's true.
And just like Charlie said, if the code is one way and this is written one way, then it has to be not necessarily vague but short, concise, and then you go to another standards or policy book if you have a question.
Is there such a thing out there, guys? Is there a best practices, or is this technology is so in flux that there really is not
yet? It wouldn't apply. All that best practices stuff's pretty generic. This is indeed cutting edge. The manufacturer does, when he builds it,
each one's unique.
Well, to the point to where it is what it is.
Right.
There's no variation.
Right.
To bit lesser than perfect.
Well, here's what I've seen, though, Steve. When they submit the little plans to go through planning, and they end up on my desk, they always show me a drawing, and like you said, they've got the megahertz listed, and they've got the little floor plan that shows me where the generator is and the propane
tank. Right.
So
right.
To a degree, they are all about the same.
Yeah.
So there is a best practices or a standard. That could be in a whole separate document. This thing would be more just solid zoning.
Gotcha.
But I don't really know what that best practices would be, but that should certainly be something. Because it keeps you current on one hand, and it keeps the ordinance still germane and current and viable without having to change as technology changes.
But it's all, those two words are all encompassing. I mean, that's even how you ground the fence. It's best practice. If you don't have best practice at anything radio related or a site related, you say you saw building drawings. I mean, literally, we're talking what type of copper and the grounding of the fence and the CAD welding. Best practices is what this industry is.
Well, you guys probably all know what copper you should be using or how deep the grounding spike should be.
Right, but these
and that's the good part about best practices, because then in the court of law, when things go bad and they're standing in front of a jury of their peers, they know what best practices. That way, we as code authorities don't need to get into these the minutiae of 900 freak.
Right, which I don't know.
We
but it's a huge difference in terms of how many houses. That's what I was saying before. I think the interesting thing that we see, the differences on this committee,
right,
is whether, you know, you're trying to protect the county or you're trying to maybe these.
So here's the problem. All of this is based on the carrier proving his need and meaning zoning requirements. He's going to come in and prove why he needs what he needs, because that's what he's asking for.
Right.
You know, so making him go to 700 and all that, no, he's going to come, but he's not interested. He's going to want to do what he wants to do based on, well,
so
lost my train of thought. You heard what I said. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, and what I'm looking for is something that, I mean, when it comes down to it, something that we could, you know, that he doesn't come in with an RF propagation map on 1900 megahertz and say, see, this is my proof that I need that power. When we know that if he used 700 megahertz, he wouldn't need that power. He could co-locate.
But it probably won't be a real option for them, Robin. They may not have the license. Not everybody's going to have 700. So-and-so wants to come and he can't even get a 700
license. That is not available.
And I'm thinking there's so many reasons that are applicable to their needs that
he wanted to
it's really hard for us to think that.
Steve, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so
anyway, I don't know how to kind of work that out.
If U.S. Cellular and Verizon are able to use a certain location, do you see something wrong with insisting that the other carriers use that location as well? Mm-hmm. If one can, citizens have a hard time with it, because we're not real technologically savvy, a lot of us, right?
Yeah.
What they have a hard time with in general is they see these carriers using one location just fine, and they don't understand why the others can't use that location as well, and why they can't their technology to the situation.
It's not technology, necessarily.
Well, okay, operating systems, whatever you want to call them.
Well, the things are precluded from using it either the colo location is physically full or they want to cover over there instead.
Well,
that's not my point. I mean, those are the two answers. One,
I think what he's asking is, he wants a gas station on the corner, but then she gets the right idea. She wants a gas station on the other corner. Then you decide, well, I want a gas station on the corner.
Yeah.
And this is ugly for our community. We only, isn't there a way that we can just use that first gas station?
That's the carrier's first preference.
Why can't we just put everybody's gas in that gas station? Why does everybody need that?
Okay, let me answer the two questions.
We don't like it.
First off, they would prefer to have one gas station. They prefer to co-locate. They don't have to spend $1 million to build it all themselves. They just pay some monthly with no upfront costs and ride along. Everything's back now.
How do you build that ordinance? Because I think that's what Siobhan is looking for.
That's called the co-locate, and everybody's required to build capacity on their towers so they can locate these new carriers, which they can then do at much reduced cost. The first carrier probably went there, this is the best spot. All the others want to be there anyway.
Exactly.
What would preclude it is they either get full of capacity, too many people are talking, it's jammed out, or it's physically full because there's too many antennas already. And if you build a bigger, look at everybody, you're not going to like that at all. Go 200 feet if you want to put them all in the same spot.
Why won't I like it? Oh, if it's big enough for everybody, why wouldn't I like that?
Or why not put a second one in the same spot?
The citizens don't like it because it's taller and taller and taller and uglier.
Believe me, the citizens would rather have them all in one spot and see them all over.
Okay, well, that won't solve the capacity issue. Well, you need a second one if the first one's full.
Like Siobhan says, if there's a second tower at the same location, that would solve
it. No, it wouldn't, because that geographical area is no better off.
Okay,
hold on. That other geographical areas that are lower on, there's no better off.
They're switching from capacity to coverage, so that's confusing.
But I'm just trying to answer your questions. There are reasons.
Okay.
I'm glad to be in the parking lot.
We're going to move on. We're going to leave that to direction when we get some direction, because right now we need some.
By the way, I look forward to 82. I don't see anything about capacity.
I apologize, but I have a 4 o'clock
appointment. No.
82. I was trying to find
next meeting or whatever.
Well, that's all in other parts of all. I'm sorry. We hammered all over it 5 days ago. It exists, right? Yeah, I was happy with it. We moved on. Are you saying these have been included here? Reference to?
Crosswalk this document with this
box. Yeah.
Didn't seem to match up. That's okay.
Well, it's not okay. I'm trying to follow you. I've worked harder this meeting than most.
Okay, Charlie's got to leave, so we're just checking with him for a moment. Okay. Charlie, thanks for
the next meeting. See you guys. I'll be calling you about that other thing.
So am I right that we need in 3 weeks to go in the afternoon and the morning?
The morning's no good.
Yeah.
Because that will be on the topic and good for you.
As a reminder.
Well, there's different people with different needs, so we sometimes work.
And it all works for people who don't have jobs, but it doesn't work for me anything.
Well, you know, Ron, if a lot of these issues are going to need further direction, wouldn't it be just better to...
Yeah, we know. We're gonna put something out on that.
Okay.
So right now we're going to move forward. Let's move and see if we can get through any of the rest of this any direction that we can move forward on. We're going to have a new planning director, and my tentative, for the people in the room, my tentative understanding at the moment is that the actual ordinance will be written by the planning director. So that's why I don't want to get too stuck, like I want applicable, but we're going to put it to the planning director because he's the one that's going to write the ordinance. And then we'll get to review it and look at it. But the legal
I understand.
We are making recommendations. We are not making the ordinance. We are making recommendations. That's what this committee is designed to do, make a recommendation to the planning director to submit for an ordinance. So we're going to run across these where we have words or something doesn't work right, the wordsmithing, whatever it is. I just don't want to get too hung on it. We will pass it up. We will not erase it. We will follow up with it. We're not wiping anything out, but I'm going to keep the meeting moving, too, so we don't get stuck the whole day just on one thing. So, having said that, 8-2A, any issues? That looked real good to me.
Yeah, we covered that one pretty thoroughly.
Let's run them real quick, then we should get over it. A2B, detailed RF propagation, seems to make real good sense to me. Put the A in there, that's fine for a typo. A2C, detailed propagation maps from the closest existing or permitted antenna support structures in all directions. I don't have an issue with that.
No, you should want
indicate
that.
Which support structures are currently used by applicant company is fine. Also detailed RF maps from sites where impact might impact this area that are presently under option, lease, ownership, or review. Is there any issue, Steve or Brian? They've got the line in here for applicant over the next 5 years. Is there any issue with that? Do we care?
No. It wouldn't matter what you think.
Well, it doesn't matter to me.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
Okay, then I think 2C is okay.
Sure.
2D, map showing all preferred gaps in service area between nearest existing antenna / support structures in all directions used by company. Works for me.
Yeah, it should be all right. However they present that is up to them.
Well, yeah, but it's all up to them at that point.
That's right.
Hey, did you have something?
No.
Okay. 2E, map identifying all alternative sites which could feasibly fill or help to fill the significant gap. Is that restrictive? Who's going to say the all?
Usually the maps that I see right now, I can tell you that when they come in, there's usually three sites on those maps. They choose three locations, and then they choose the best one out of those three. That's what's coming in.
Okay, so that's what you're seeing. Well, that's what you're seeing at the applications.
Yeah.
Okay.
The term all, I don't know.
The term all, I think, might be restrictive. Map identifying alternate sites is fine. I got no problem with that. They're turning in three sites currently.
I think one of the things in all those things is that the planning department, if they feel that there is what a public or whatever site they haven't considered that's actually better.
Okay.
Right, but how do you distinguish all? Because all is going to be everything.
Yeah.
And how is that a problem? All is going to be limited. What they're trying to do, there can't be very many. You know, all, how many? There aren't any. There's three? I mean, all won't be big. There's a bigger monkey wrench. If we're saying here, appropriate technology for filling or helping to fill, we're back to the same wording that we just beat up for 45 minutes in that other thing at the top, where we talked about acquiring the lowest frequency. It's kind of the same thing. We had a hell of a time with it. Here it is again.
Okay, so.
So I don't think we should dictate what they're trying to do.
Then we'll tag this one for direction of PD.
If it won't work, they'll not even go there.
I still don't like the all word, but we will tag it for the direction of the planning director, and we will wait for some direction.
Okay.
C2A, under the justification, documents proposed antenna structures close to a significant gap in service coverage or basic service capacity.
Hang on.
Yeah,
all of this.
Well, that is a huge issue.
Um, basic service really kind of isn't applicable. What is basic service?
Basic service means the ability. Basic service is defined as the ability to basically make cell phone calls or text message. That's basic service. Generation.
That's not defined.
One and two. It is. I think it's defined.
I have not seen a definition that defines basic.
So I'm a consumer out there, and basically what you've done is you've forced me to go buy the Walmart basic wind-up battery-operated toy cell phone, but I'd really like to use my iPad so that I can use all the technology available. You're forcing me to use the Earl Shive Kmart.
They don't even have basic phones anymore. They will be fancy. That the subpoena service won't work.
Well,
pretty much.
You're actually making my point. What is basic? You know, if I buy a phone, I want to buy a full-featured phone.
And
I don't want anybody dictating that I can't have this kind of functionality. Now you're forcing me to go to a particular carrier. For example, this only works on AT&T.
Well, as I explained before, days ago, let me try to get this going. I explained that the voice portion and these other services are transported in the same manner, same zeros and ones if you want to point it down to the very basic need, and that all services will breed, shrink, and expand the more the capacity of any type basic voice or otherwise is on the service. There are more robust forward error correcting techniques and other assurances that the sophisticated stuff makes it through to the other end. They don't give much concern to the voice part anymore. And it's going to crap out first. The voice will start getting worse before even some of these advanced services will. So for you to say you're trying to make the voice services work and sacrifice the advanced services, it doesn't work that way. The advanced services have robust forward error correcting that keeps it all working at the sacrifice of the voice. So if everybody's used the system, they can't keep the voice basic service going. It'll get eroded away. There's no technological feasible way to control that other than having...
Here's an example. In a disaster situation...
Well, I just have one more clarify. So that's new. So I have been under the impression, and it sounds like perhaps I'm incorrect, that the basic services require so much less bandwidth.
They do.
That it seems like if the capacity is limited, those were the ones that would still work.
No. Because the advanced services have additional packets of information with information to help resurrect it at the other end if it came in wrong. There's so much overhead forward error correction to ensure it receives properly that they will give that a priority status and the voice will sacrifice.
That's backwards from what you think.
There's an error correction process in there.
Because they're giving everything to the technology. The voice says it works so easy anyway, it doesn't need all that attention. But maybe now we're talking critical, it's weaker than heck. They'll both start to go, including the voice. When you get weak at the fringes, or the fringes come in.
I can leave that out because I'm clear now. You know, I mean, I'll leave that out because I think our perspective is kind of different.
Smartphones
and all those capabilities.
There's actually been instances in disasters where everybody all of a sudden picks up their cell phones because you've got a big fire or some kind of disaster in the area, and nobody can make voice communications. But they could do text and other kinds of communications with the device.
Yeah, picture messaging.
Yeah, but
that's why we got hands, right, Steve?
That's right.
Yeah,
but you didn't. Yeah. So you can't have that wording in there because the carrier has no control over that. The technology is what it is. It works the way it works. There's no such thing as basic service in that technology anymore. You could call it voice, but it's being handled the way it's handled anyway. We can't require anything of them.
So
it will be there, but designed to the best degree it can.
Basic service will just scratch out with a new understanding that it works in reverse of what was thought.
And the industry never uses it. We'd look stupid to even try to say that.
Okay, so if we strike out C2A, we move
it's from the phone company area. I'm sorry.
Okay, C2B1.
Now, this particular one Brian had issues with, that was in the comments in the staff. You wrote quite a bit on that one, this particular. Where 2B1 says, the gap cannot be closed by upgrading or other existing facilities and towers in doing so. Evidence must clearly support a conclusion the gap results from a lack of coverage and not a lack of capacity to achieve adequate service. And Brian Hawkins says, I may be reading this wrong, but it seems a bit confusing. If a site lacks adequate capacity, then doesn't a cell user experience a lack of coverage?
Yes, they do.
They would tie together.
Correct.
Yeah.
Inversely proportional.
If I can't get in that site because it's congested, you would normally do a handoff. But if there's no place to hand off to, I don't have coverage.
Well, and then Michael went on to question the significant gap and also the TCA and some other issues regarding that, and you were involved with that as well. It would be on page 17 of your staff report.
There's
at the top.
I gotta get my reminder.
Okay, here's another issue too in here, is that what's the language about the customers? Current customers in the coverage area. Well, wait a minute. Customers aren't necessarily people who live in that area. Customers drive through that area. They visit that area. So what do you do? They go, well, yeah, according to our billing, we're only sending three bills out here, but we got 10,000 phones accessing our site because there's a freeway over there or a scenic highway or something like that. Why would current customers be relevant here?
Well, current customer is very big. Customer of who?
Yeah, it could be a roaming deal. It could be
Customer of who? Anybody. Right, you're right.
Yeah.
So how does that tie in? Bring me back in the loop here?
Well, it says must provide data on the number of current customers in the coverage area.
It should be amount of coverage or amount of usage by that cell site.
Yeah, not
by the site.
This is in the area that would probably leading layperson to believe that
provide data on the usage number
by that cell
site. Yeah, of that cell site. Yeah,
loading.
Right. Absolutely.
Loading.
Yeah.
It's not customers.
No, it isn't at all. Actually, no. Good point.
So usage number makes a lot more sense.
I don't think it's is it a number or is it just usage by that cell?
Well, it would be the same. Okay. They know how many people have accessed a tower.
Yeah, it's a percentage of capacity at any given moment. They know who's all getting what. It's all sandwiched up. You wouldn't believe it. They know everything. It's simple.
Well, it must be by neighboring cell sites because that cell site isn't existing yet. They're applying for it.
True.
But if you're traveling through, you're handshaking from one to the next.
But I'm saying they're applying for a particular site, so you can't say you have to give us the usage from that site, because that site doesn't exist yet. You have to give us the usage from the neighboring.
Correct. So it would be the usage on a current site.
By the neighboring cell sites used by that company in all directions.
But it might not be their cell site next door to it.
Yeah.
Used by that company.
And you could have a Nextel sitting on one hill and a Sprint sitting on the other.
Are they use the same? They share?
No,
they don't share. They're different technology, different phones, but they can shake off.
Well, just for the sake of, Nextel roams with nobody.
Well, that's why I don't have that.
Well, you didn't mention their name, just so everybody understands. Nextel is not cellular. And it does not roam or is compatible with any cellular.
So it would be the neighboring cell site used by the African company.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Clearwire has 2G spectrum or 2900 and another 2.5. They bought out Nextel.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually created a phone that will do their own.
Wow.
Bulk band thing finally, so it's not really roaming with the rest of the fleet, but there are those two merged companies.
When that happened,
Nextel was losing money millions for months and months and months.
When
they really went down hard.
When did that happen, Steve?
They were acquired 2 years ago, roughly, and the year prior they were hemorrhaging. It was the talk of the industry. They lost. Nextel was the big name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't advance because the Nextel network is what it was, based on what it was when they built it. 10 years went by. Dinosaur. People lost 600,000 customers a month for months, years.
I have a technological question Is there any data for a tower? What type, how much, videoing is going on in that tower? How much texting is going on in the tower? Does it collect data separately for the type of use it?
It probably does. I couldn't tell you that, but it probably does. I don't know. I don't know.
I think it probably do because some of the carriers are starting to choke back on the unlimited data access because
yes.
Verizon, for example, is now going to take the iPhones because iPhones have been typically on AT&T. If they're looking at the usage.
But she's asking the type of data. They're differentiating.
They're looking because AT&T does know that they're streaming video and doing all sorts of
stuff.
Sure they are. Live video chat, those kind of things. And Verizon's going, we may have to take our currently very generous data packages and choke those back because they'll have gridlock in their system and they'll start losing customers.
Well, they're all choking it back right now, even Charter. If you're excessively using capacity or using max capacity, they actually block you and they cut your speed down physically.
So you're talking about the known and manage demand for all that stuff. That's partly what we're talking about here in this room. Why do they want these things everywhere? Because the demand.
Okay, but Siobhan, this goes back to, are we trying to dictate what kind of functionality people have on their devices?
No.
Why do you care if it's video or voice or text or...
This was just to justify, rather than a company saying, we don't have enough capacity. You say, okay, we'll give you more. Then I think it was some evidence. That convinces us.
And if you
get any more. And some of the evidence could be the usage by the neighboring cell site that we see that they're maxed out.
Let's just do a hypothetical. I have no idea this reflects reality with Verizon. But Verizon's now going to be supporting that call. Let's say Verizon's going to sign up there and says, hey, we're okay when it was just hello mom, hello dad, a little bit of texting. But now that we're going to be supporting all these really intelligent devices, we're going to have to expand our system in order to support these new technologies. Problem with that?
Do I personally have a problem? I do have a problem with that, but that's not going to go anywhere. So I think what the point that you're making is that they can't document the need for capacity by usage that's all there and the type of data that they use because this is something new that's going to be coming in.
Like right now, Apple is flooding schools, rural schools, with these because it's cheaper to put books on here so the kids than it is to stock a library. You know how poor our libraries are. They can do it in electronic form cheaper, faster, and easier. And they're flooding schools with iPads. Guess what?
So then how do we, I'm asking a theory, how do we do that? What is it reasonable to ask from a company for evidence rather than purely taking their word, we need more capacity?
Well, it's not their word. It's numbers pulled off a computer.
So what numbers are we asking for?
Well, you can't dictate it. If it's 20, it won't work. If it's 87%, it seems reasonable.
So you say what type of numbers?
What type of numbers? Because I want some evidence.
What do you mean type of numbers? Numbers of what? I'm losing.
Well, she wants to know that the current infrastructure is capable of handling 2 billion messages per hour, and right now they're currently handling 1.8 billion.
Okay, so percentage. It's 90% full.
Yeah. So what's... Are you
asking for what number? What percentage?
Oh, I think that's what she's saying.
What she's asking for is what numbers can she look at that a layman can see and say, you're at capacity... And you need more.
Well, they'll probably publish you a pie chart any color you want. I mean, what are we talking about? My mom.
What?
It'll be per hour, day, per second. Is that not what we're talking about?
What evidence are we asking the company to back up their statement that they need more capacity?
What evidence do you get when you get an application, Jane?
As far as that.
Let's start there.
Well,
capacity issue.
Capacity issue, but right now we don't have it. Don't ask for it. Right now, we just look at the maps, the coverage.
What they provide.
What they provide, they have an RF engineer generate. I brought one in the other day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's capacity, but that's different even from capacity, though.
That's mentioned. It's a part of it. It's all there.
Right now, we've never gone down that road.
Okay.
So I think until smartphones came out, capacity wasn't really that much of an issue. It was more coverage.
Capacity's been an issue since I got on AOL back in the 80s.
Oh, really?
It goes in phases where they increase capacity and everybody's happy for short term, year, 2-3 years, and then everybody's got faster computers and their programs are bigger, the files are bigger, the sizes are bigger, then more capacity is required again from that point forward. And we're in this endless loop, and that's not going to change what I see.
Well, you're right. All right, so let me mention something that's totally different, that people, the public, broadly supports, or acknowledges, supports, and what benefit comes to citizens who are lost. This is coming up now, megafold. For instance, in this last storm, 3 people were rescued by search and rescue. 2 probably would have died if there wasn't cell coverage. Sam Brown Campground, they drove in for Valentine's Day, couldn't drive out. If it weren't for cell coverage, they would have died. No one else went in. Search and rescue went and got them. The dude on the Oregon Mountain, he and whoever was out there couldn't get back. Something happened. They triangulated from $8, that cell site, and said it was at least within this quadrant. When they found James Kim, they knew he was somewhere in the state and went up Highway Bear Campish off Glendale because the multiple cell sites triangulated his call. You can go back in the record to see what sites heard that number at that time and who was stronger at what site, and then you can triangulate. It's being done all the time. Cellulars have ramped up the efficiency process for the technician to do this. It was done this weekend. It's saving lives. My point being that the more cell towers you have, the more triangulation you have. And if they're not in certain areas, then the guy can't get rescued. Okay, fine. Williams, no one's going to, you know, you got the hills on the side. Maybe they will triangulate. Same thing. See something on Gers Canyon or something to save a life. All I'm pointing out is that's becoming inherently knowledgeable, utilized constantly. James Kim, it was huge. They knew where to concentrate a statewide search to Glendale and out that road. They found him. He was dead. His family made it back by rescue just in time. That was cell phone. So my point, I'm not by, you know, talking any horns other than the sheriff, search and rescue, the public at large, it's a very... We're talking tech, why I brought this up, talking technology. Is it video? Is it basic service? Every phone has a GPS built into it. And it's giving that data. You can turn it off if you want.
Digital phones.
Digital phone. Well, there's no analog anymore. And so people even know where you are if they want to extract that data. It's actually just help use for synchronization of the system. So you know where you are to hand off your Excel site based on anticipated signal strength also. And I'm just pointing out, it's a huge, huge reality, public awareness anymore. 3 this weekend. And the storm was coming in for 5 days next.
So we, you know, appreciate your passion about that. I think what we're trying to talk about right now
is how you justify. The more sites, the more people can get heard, the more triangulation can be done. I'm not talking Williams.
Yeah, that's your personal opinion.
No. It's fact. That's how they're finding these people who are lost.
Okay, yes,
it's giving you 30 degrees latitude, longitude, they go down there. Yes, what are you talking about, my opinion? This is how the system works. This
can
is what's happening.
Can I make a request for the energy to...
Yes, it's a passion. I've been spending my whole life building systems, infrastructure. I had hours in the snow getting out of my snowmobile at night, keeping Josephine County going, and all this. You have nothing to do with this industry. We've been working at it our whole lives, making it the best it can be, provide communications people day and night, and this is kind of an extension of that. It's still to the public. It's a different technology. Yes, I have a passion. You bet.
Okay. Let's move forward.
Sorry. But that technology of the search and rescue thing, that application is not my opinion. That's what they're doing. I brought your awareness of it. This is a huge public pro issue. It's mainstream media, okay? And it's
We got that.
All right. Okay. All right. Sorry, I do get you going. I know it's
okay.
Do that all the time.
C2E2.
Did you decide on
C2B1? I'm going to direct that to the director.
Okay. Just checking.
Should I switch at least to direct it to him, the languaging, to the usage, that some of the languaging shifts?
Yeah. We made that clear. Because we have to take it off current customers, because current customers, again, potentially aren't the ones using the tower. Like, well, when I moved here in 96, I had no cell service at Tom Pierce. I had to walk out towards the river and just be standing in the right spot with my leg held in the right position to have service.
What amazes me is I get on the exit 61 up here, and I'm on a phone call. I get to the top of the hill, not down in a canyon, and I can prove this 100% of the time. I get to the top of the hill, and I lose my AT&T call, and I don't get it back until I'm at the off-ramp.
AT&T.
Guess what? They want to build a tower out here because everybody, talk to anybody with AT&T. 8 guys that I sit on the sheriff's committee with, we all have AT&T phones, and we all drive that way. And it's like, are you kidding me? You can't even make a phone call, and we lose that because there's no handoff there because there's just a big gap.
Can I interject something to that? We had somebody come testify at the cell tower meetings in Williams about the original proposal, and this lady came and had an AT&T phone, said that they have an AT&T tower right there in Applegate, right? And she could be right by the tower and not be able to use her phone. You know, so, you know, we talk about AT&T. AT&T, accordingly to her, is able to drop calls anywhere, no matter where the towers are.
Well, they all have moments, but I was on AT&T the first 2 years I was here with an L.A. number. I loved it.
She needed a new phone. ATC circuit burned out.
Yeah.
So.
It's an instrument. It's a device issue, not a network issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's. Okay. We're moving back on to C2B. We know that there's dead spots. We all know there is. All you got to be doing is talking, driving down the road. Anyone chime in on this one? A comprehensive study.
Just a quick global comment about this section. It really applies to a lot we've talked about.
Okay.
We got all these big towers, and we're going to make sure that everybody goes on as few of these big towers as possible.
Okay.
But if I can solve my problem, my throughput, my loading, my coverage, whatever the problem is, by putting a smaller thing over on this structure on top of this building, this market who'd like to make this revenue that I'm going to pay them every month, and I can do a nice disguised roof-mounted structure on this thing, I don't want to go over here to Joe's big tower. I want to go right here, cost me less money. For you, it's more aesthetically pleasing, and I'm going to deliver better service. Why are we forcing them to go to these big towers?
I'm not.
It sounds, but we are. We're saying you got to go to the nearest tower and get on it. No, I'm going to build a new tower, except it's going to be a little K-frame. Is that what you call them, Steve, K-frames?
I haven't heard the term.
It's a little cube-type thing that you put on a roof, and then you wrap material around it matches your architecture of the building, and you know, it's like a little micro cell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win situation. And win-win situations are a good thing, and they should be allowed. But we're getting so restricted here because we want them on the other guy's big tower.
That has to be big enough to accommodate them in the first place.
Exactly.
All right. And this CTV requires a new site to be considered, or erecting a new support structure on the same site as an existing support structure.
But I can go 200 yards or 500 yards or whatever. I mean, and also, are we doing this assuming that every tower is going to be automatically built to the maximum height to allow co-location?
I would not.
Well, they have to, a height to allow. They have to allow co-location. I don't know about the maximum height, but that's a requirement.
No, because like what Tad's been here today because he's sick, but you know, he's got a tower that's 90 feet, but the trees grew up, so he's got to raise the tower. So, but he doesn't have to build the 200-foot tower, even though he's capable of it. He only needs to build what he needs to achieve the end result. So maximum height will not, in my opinion, every time.
Steve, is it feasible, too, that at some point the primary carrier, the site owner, would eventually terminate those leases because they want to expand themselves on their own tower and not to kick these guys off? I don't know what the terms of those leases are.
Yeah, I've never seen leases between the two carriers, but, you know, I've got a lot of my hold with carriers, and it's not in there. With emerging technologies, I guess that's possible. Let's say they want to use two bands at one time. Well, they're going to need two separate groups of antennas. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they could boot somebody out if they ultimately have the right to do so in their lease agreement. Never been done.
We have no legal recourse to dictate what the lease is.
Well, no, but if I'm currently providing service out there, but I'm a renter,
right.
And now I've been orphaned.
Gotcha.
Hey, well, I've already had a presence here.
Isn't that, was it Baldy that the Unicom had the wireless on?
And Unicom was on Bluey.
Bluey, okay. Yeah. And they had an issue with their lease on their tower, and I was one of the customers, and they said, as of July 1st, you're off. They've done something to the lease. I don't know if it was your tower or somebody else's. They said something happened, but they said, we're not doing it. We're cutting every one of those customers and just closing that system down.
Don't know the cause, but I know they went away.
Yeah. Well, I heard it was a, well, I know it was a lease issue because I just stepped in UNICOM, so I didn't, yeah. I didn't hear the technicality.
Well, that would have been old Arnold Van Sias. He's a tightwad.
What the?
The site owner. The master lease up there. These guys, the lessee.
So potential at any time, a lease could not be renewed.
It could become a trend. Who knows where technology will go?
Yeah, we don't know.
It hadn't happened yet, but it could come a trend.
We're not going to try and figure that out here.
No.
I was able to address Brian's concern. It is taken already and considered that as a compelling argument.
Yeah, I think it's booted.
Is made why co-locating on an existing site is more intrusive than utilizing a new site, then they can get the new site.
So I come before you and say, hey, I can create a win-win situation. I can stay off that big tower, and I can go build this quiet little nondescript, disguised site. Nobody even knows it's there.
If it's compelling.
Ron?
I would be compelled.
Yeah.
Another thought pattern that I've noticed that in some of these changes, there are certain things that are stricken, and I was thinking possibly if there's certain words or that are in the draft, we could do a global change if they're not to be in the draft anymore, like repeaters. You know, is that something I notice it is throughout the draft? Is that a word that seems to be stricken quite a bit? Is that a word that should not be within the draft? Did we decide with the repeaters that they're non-existent or they shouldn't be even used?
So you're substituting enhancers.
Yeah, that's what they become, but no one's really using those anymore. The technology has transformed to where it's actually easier to put a full cell site somewhere because you still need radios, power, a building, antennas, support structure. An enhancer piggybacks off an existing. I mean, then you still have to have all this to relay. Hell, just putting one that's not even sucking off of that one and isolate it so you don't have gap issues.
So
should repeaters, should that be a word that is...
Yeah.
Taken out of the entire document.
Repeaters and answers do not even need to be in there.
I think he agreed
near
the beginning, so I already started doing that.
Okay.
Of course, if it's in there, it doesn't cause any harm. No one wants to
know. It might be worth, after we get something finalized here,
right.
Can the new planning director write his version? Mm-hmm. Maybe he can send it back to us, and we can just look at the whole document for that reason to make sure the normal pictures.
Because that, yeah.
Right, the whole thing with all the changes that we've agreed.
Okay.
You know, which I've been tracking, you know, all the changes. So
it
would be that version, which is this
what
we've agreed to, and then that goes to the...
Because what the new planning...
The planning director happens to inject a word that he's used to using. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying maybe we ought to look at it.
Well, there's going to be some technical slash legal terminology that
right.
would be adjusted in order
but
to...
But see, he'll take this draft, and what he'll do is compare it to the recommendations of this committee, and then he will determine with legal what can be and cannot be placed in there. So he will probably take this one draft, and he will replace. That's why I was thinking, because a lot of it's probably going to fall in my lap as well. So if there were, like, certain words that are not used or shouldn't even be in here, then it's easier to globally take them all out. Like, we'll have to globally change the, what was it, support structures and facilities and antennas and
so
stuff like that.
We're doubling our work then.
No, we're not. No. I'm just saying if there are certain words, then that's a double check that we can do once we're comparing the two.
Yes.
So
once, just remove them from the computer and release it.
Yes.
So
once you have your complete product together,
right.
He will take that product and he will go to this draft
right.
and he will compare the two. And between the two will come out the next draft.
Right.
And from there, then other corrections, whatever, will be done until a final draft is done, which will be what is taken back to the Planning Commission.
Yeah, keep in mind that she's right. You're going to have your draft and the one we proposed. He's going to compile the two together, write something that he believes is going to work. That document you just requested that you guys see this document before it goes out. Otherwise, if not, it's going to go straight to the Planning Commission, and they're going to mess with it. They get to mess with it. You guys do. Anyone on the Planning Commission can make changes as they want, and there'll be a vote. They can approve it. And
so the changes that we've hashed out, you know, we've spent quite a number of meetings on some of them, hashing out exact words, is several versions away, even though we've spent all that time, it's several versions away from what's actually going to happen.
It may not change much.
To a point, yes. It can go either way.
You know, if we did a good job, like Charlie helped us get over some uglies, I mean, Don't think that way.
And keep in mind, it has to, once he has compared these two, your draft and this original draft, then it has to all go through legal so that we're all legally bound and proper. And then it comes back. That's when you would have the draft to review and then questions, and it would go around again depending on how you feel as a committee. And then when a final draft is done, after legal has reviewed it, that's when it would go back before the Planning Commission. Then they would have a run at it as well. It wouldn't just be Ron's ideas. It would be everybody on the Planning Commission, and that could take several hearings in itself before it's finally done.
Additional spectrum.
So that's why the planning director said, you know, let's not get too stuck on some of these. We get stuck in the wording that maybe we just need to flag a line and say, hey, we need to rework on this paragraph or this sentence or something and submit it that way versus trying to wordsmith every single line.
Gotcha.
I have no problem doing it. You know, it all comes back to time frame.
You can make a note along that word of what your intention was and let them chew on it.
Yeah.
What you're trying to say. Or whatever.
You're a rock star. This is awesome.
I actually wrote it, but, you know.
Yeah, right. She's over there whining, but, you know, she's got a job. So this is the stuff from the last meeting?
Actually, it's the summary. Up to last meeting. These are the things that I pulled out of my notes and Ann's minutes and stuff that we kind of came to conclusions to. What I'm recommending is that this is the kind of format that you want the Planning Commission to look at.
Yes.
Do you give them something like this?
Take the part
no, this
yeah.
is what was for us to work.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's fine.
I guess I don't want to be doing, I mean, I'm doing a lot of work between sessions, and I don't want to be doing extra work.
You are.
So, I mean, I'm taking everything that we do, I've got a working version of the whole ordinance. Whenever we make changes like today, the ones, the sections here that we've made changes, I'll put that into the working data, the sections that are going to go to that we made a little changes, but we're still sending to the new planning director, you know.
So do you have, now when you put this together, so you have it incorporated within to the working draft that is already here?
Each meeting, I have a working draft that started out exactly verbatim like the draft.
So at the final, you'll have something like this, although
not
you will have, no, no, no,
like,
so you will have all of your changes in the spot where, right, in
right.
with the changes in those areas.
That incorporates all of the all of the changes. So when I get something like this, I'm not sure what, I mean, have I already done this, or is this, are we checking that we're on the same page, or is there something else that I have to read?
That's nice homework.
We're doubling something. This is doubling something.
He just did this to show you, this is the stuff we've already discussed that you should already have from previous.
Yeah, it's just a review.
It's just a review.
Okay.
But he's saying this is how they word it or how they format it for you. So it's not as technically technical versus ordinance versus technical. Do you follow that? I mean, some of these, that's one of the things I really like Steve do about it. You know, he was really good about picking sentences and language apart where it had an and it needed an or needed a period at the end of the sentence. Or
well, and that's why with these changes, if you're, each time we have one of these emailed by Siobhan, if you grab this thing and you compare the two, then you have read all of the other befores, in-betweens, and afters, and how they relate to the changes.
Which one, Siobhan?
Number three, what we agreed and what was after a lot of struggle, and we did a lot of negotiations, and the setbacks is that it shall, it shall not be reduced more than 250 feet. We changed that from that, not less than 250 feet. And that's what we agreed with the suggestion of the woman over there, who actually turned out to be part of the planning department.
She's under commission.
Vivian.
Vivian.
I wasn't here for that meeting, so I don't know.
Vivian, and we agreed, and we did some trade-offs.
How did you want the line to read? Number three, however the distance may be decreased by variance, but shall
but
be
not,
no less than
no,
250.
No, it shall not be decreased more than 250 feet.
So you're saying no more than 200 feet of the 1,500.
Yes. That's what we agreed upon. And that's what I, you know, I did a trade with Taz for that. I gave him his scenic byway and his, you know, the things that he wanted.
So basically saying 1,250 feet.
Yes. That's what we agreed.
So how would you,
Steve, you know,
how would you word that, Chavana? How would you word that last sentence?
However, the distance may be decreased by variance, but no more than 250 feet. Worded that way. I don't know. I've got it worded in the working.
Okay, that just that gives James and me time to go back and find where that is.
Okay.
Okay.
So there isn't much commercial industrial zone.
Okay, so let's.
Wow. No.
Move on.
Is what is.
Let's look at the. Steve, do you want to show us the map real quick and show us where those things are that we're referencing?
Commercial industrial?
Yeah.
I need two people to hold it. Well, okay. Stand up, look, whatever you want.
Yeah. Everybody stand up, stretch your legs for a minute.
It appears to be this reddish color here.
Red and gray. Gray is a little hard to see, but you're right. It's the red.
Central Business District, General Commercial, Tourist Commercial. A lot of this pinkish.
Yeah.
It looks like some of these edges going up the main highways and stuff. It looks like primary what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some wood thing in the old days, you know, mill and stuff. There's not very much of that property around. And it's all centered within there's residents around it. In some cases.
Yeah. Williams doesn't have what they got.
Yeah, three of them.
Really small zones.
Yeah, I wonder what they...
Because Sunny Valley actually has a whole lot more.
Well...
Yeah, around the highway. There's
Wolf Creek's got more, too. Drive, that's before Boyers.
Okay, well, for those who wish to know, there it is.
So it's fairly isolated
and limited.
Yeah, they're not big zones.
I can't say how we agreed to word that until I go back to my working
company. That's fine.
So
why don't you... When you have a second, why don't you email that to me? Forward it on to James.
This.
Okay.
And then that way we can fix that. Because what we need to do, James and I need to sit with the new director here. We need to be able to bring him up to speed quickly. And that's our problem. So we want to be able to hit the bullet points so that he's on board and he knows exactly
what
he's
doing. That's mostly the basis for that.
I can send you the working paper where it is at this moment, but it doesn't clearly say, you know.
No, I think the way that James and I have kept it will be fine. It's just that our concern was bringing him up to snuff quickly before the next meeting is up.
Right here,
and whether these are not set in stone.
Yeah.
You
know, where they want to go, that
it was just a summary.
Is it?
Okay, so I'll
yes, that would be perfect.
Because that seems right.
And then that way we can, because what we need to do is put all the notes together as best we can so that when we sit down and talk with him, we have to bring him up to speed on this really quickly.
Do you know of Growers?
Right. See, and that's what if there's other terminology or words that are outdated that really don't need to be in there, then we can globally change them in every time.
Right. And on a list of issues, you have it, but one of them is basically
additional edits.
This is the technical. Right. To review all the technical information to see if it's currently relevant. That takes care of it.
I don't know if we're going to have many conflicts along the route.
That would be most helpful. Yeah.
And actually, I've done a little bit of this, and you're doing a little of this. I'm not interested in doing much more of that. Actually, integrate any suggestions that Mike had by actually editing, crossing something out.
The comments,
to be honest, I don't care about the comments at this point. There's too many. But where he actually said, where he did something like this, then I copied that in.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll complete the bail, and it actually has been finding out the process of why we have 6 applications for files right now.
Okay. Item 4, matters to committee members. Does anyone have anything else? Item 4 on the agenda.
What do we do with CB?
C2B2.
I think that's going to wait for the planning director.
I have verified by PD.
Okay, that's another PD. Got it.
Okay, when's he coming on board?
Tuesday,
a couple of weeks to get up to speed at least. What's his name?
David Wechner. And we need the time to, that's why we were trying to consolidate as much as we could so that we can bullet point things and bring him up to snuff as quickly as possible before the next meeting.
He's going to get loaded pretty quick.
He will.
Okay. Committee members, anything for the committee? Other matters? Steve, anything chime in? That's your spot.
No, not this time.
Okay. Tentatively looking at the 16th at 1500. Wednesday.
3 to 5.
Is that what that means? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll ask Charlie to bring all the fire information and be prepared to present that to us.
What are we gonna?
Is that what you want to do? Is the fire one next time?
Yeah, because I think we can get through that pretty quick.
Yeah.
Should we do fire and fire? Is that the only thing we're doing?
3 to 5.
3 to 5.
Is that the only agenda item, or are we
going to
have
16?
More?
Okay. With all due respect to the fire marshal, other than obviously having an intimate understanding of fire code as it relates to everything, your house, my house, that building over there, this and the other, do you have an understanding what radio sites look like and what they need to have to operate? And
I think he does.
He knows what they look like real well. To answer that question,
prepare. Is that
right? Oh yeah.
Has he been to your site? Is your site the benchmark by which we compare all? Of
them? No. He ran the City of Grants Pass Fire Department for years, and then the state position opened up, and he went over to the state site. And he's the official fire inspector and everything. So he's
really versatile. Well, I'm not saying I go try to as a fire marshal. I don't know what he knows about radio sites.
Well, no, he'll be able to bring in what the requirements are from the fire side of it. We'll be able to look, because that's questions and concerns you guys have, the generators, the boxes, that kind of stuff. He should have information.
You'll understand what all that is. Why?
I think we'll get through it pretty quick.
So we're going to do the fire safety and what else?
Fire safety and what else would you like to, Joanna?
The building structure safety, I think Mike Snyder had invited... Wasn't there a building guy that was...
We have building, Robert Rice, who's the director of building.
Well, when we do that, it would be great to have some...
Can we get him to show up at the next one and do them at the same time? Would be appropriate in my book.
We'll nudge him, see if he can...
Do you want... Okay.
Maybe I'll come prepared for the 3, fire safety, building structure safety, and then Katie can't be the security, which is also going to be an easy...
Yeah.
Okay.
Just whip through a couple. Let's make some progress and move forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Those sound good to me.
I think we might be able to whip through all 3.
I'd like that. I'm optimistic.
So then we're going to leave the gaps in the capacities number 5. We've hashed that out enough, and whatever is
we want to submit what the balance
what
we have to the PD and
to
let the PD have
okay.
a couple more weeks to get a feedback.
Okay.
Yeah, I really just don't like slamming them all at once.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ann, I will also forward you one of the things we're sending to the PD. We made some more changes in order. So
okay.
I can do that.
Okay.
So what was his
do you remember where he
he's worked out of Sherwood, Oregon. He has he's in Colorado right now. I believe he had his own consulting firm there that he was working with. So he has an extensive planning background.
Okay.
So
the most recent one was Colorado or Colorado,
Well, Colorado's where he's living right now, and he has a consulting firm there. Sherwood, Oregon was one of his planning spots. I think he's worked in Washington and California. I don't know.
I think mostly Washington area. And that sort of
thing. Well, he has basic knowledge of the Oregon.
Yes, he does.
Sherwood's been a hot spot over the years.
Yes, and he was there for a couple years, if I'm not mistaken.
That's where Oregon is in Abbeville.
Oh, then he will be very familiar with all of that.
I believe his master's was from the University of Oregon.